Beyond Athletic, Episode 3.
Because you need to also respect yourself as well you are respecting the other, you know. If you want to respect back from the other people. If you are in the team, so that means that you are equal good as they are.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey there, guys. So today we've actually got on a fantastic young girl. Her name is Brankica, or Branka as she likes to be called, Mihailovic from Bosnia. She's playing for Team Serbia, and at this point, I am interviewing her just before the World Championships in Italy. So happy she took out the time to talk with us. You're going to love this episode because it is a very young perspective at a very high level. If you like the show, leave a review, beyondathletic.com/review, and support us with a donation, or at least sharing the page so others can donate even a dollar at beyondathletic.com/donate. Thanks so much and enjoy the show. So, Brankica, you go by Branka though, right?
You can call me Branka. If so it's easier for you.
We've got Brankica Mihailovic.
Mihailovic
from Bosnia and Herzegovina. What is it? Brčko?
Brčko is the name of the city.
Oh, did I say it right though?
It's correct.
It's good enough. So you're, how old are you now? You're born in 91?
I'm born 91, so I'm now 23.
Yeah, awesome. And we're just going to get a little bit into your bio really quick. You started pro at the age of 18.
That's
and true. You played in Switzerland for Valero, France for who?
France, Cannes.
Cannes, oh yeah. Oh, I saw you there too. Wait, were you with Anya? No.
No, I didn't.
No, you missed her.
She left and then I came. Yeah.
And then you ended last season, you're with Unilever in Brazil. You got second place there, right?
First place?
Ha ha.
We are the winners of Superliga.
You got second place in the World Championships.
In the World Club Championships. True. Final against Slovakia.
Awesome. And let's see, last year in the Grand Prix, you joined the national team 2012. And then in the end of your first year with them, you played in the Grand Prix, right?
2013, yeah.
Got third place and I personally think I swore I saw best scorer or best like spiker or something, but yeah, your all-star team. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm the first six. Thank you very much.
Awesome. I see you're you're not too afraid of my puppy right now who wants to come say hi.
He really likes me.
Yeah, he does. He's very nice.
He's very cute.
So thanks for joining me today. Basically, I just want to get into a few things, but before we do, is there any motto or quote that you kind of every day or every once in a while remind yourself of?
First of all, thank you for inviting me. And I hope, guys, you will understand me because my English is not so good. But let me say like this. I think every person, you know, human being trying to be a better person every day. You know, not just for me, in volleyball, I think in general in life. And I think that the best thing is trying to help people every day and trying to not do things that you don't want that somebody is doing to you, you know. So I think it's always you need to have some respect for the other people, not just, you know, with the people who are the same age with you, also for the small kids, because in these days they are getting much quicker, getting intelligent and clever. So I think in this way, you know, you need to follow some, you know, some moral things
some,
in
yeah,
your
moral
life.
Moral values.
Moral values yeah. in your life.
Basically how to operate in life. No, I can respect that.
To become a better person in general, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it shows because the person who actually recommended you come on this show, Mira Golubovich.
Thank
she's
spoke great.
Very highly of you.
She thank you very much, but I really admire her what she's doing, what she did actually in her professional life, volleyball, but she's a great person, you know, and it's my honor to know her, just for a little bit.
Which is awesome. If anybody listening doesn't know who that is, look her up. And she just got, what is it, the Lifetime Achievement Award from the... That's huge.
And
that's
she's 37 now.
She's played for a while. Just
almost 20 years. That's 20 years of professional volleyball.
It's not super long.
She did a great job.
She went out when she was still playing really well. And
it's true.
It's been nice to start to get to know her. But anyways... let's get into a little bit about you. I've given everybody just a brief overview of some of the things you've done recently since, let's say, 18. But just tell us a little bit about you. For instance, the city you're born in, what kind of family you're born into, and your story leading up until, let's say, high school.
Okay, yeah, I'm born in one small city, let's say. Mostly.
Brčko.
Brčko, it's Brčko. Actually, it's one city from of sport, especially volleyball. I'm raised in also family. I have my one sister. She's older. She's also in some, like, let me say, sport.
Okay,
but
what is it?
It's dancing.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, Latin American.
This is
great.
Sport. This is athletic.
Sport. But she stopped doing this. Opa! He really likes me. And now she's doing, like, coaching. For small kids.
Oh, awesome.
And my parents.
Back
father,
home.
Yeah, back home.
Okay.
She's still there living. Parents, my father and mother, they have been my support, you know, from the day I started playing volleyball.
And when was that?
I was 12. 11 or 12, something like
that. How did you even start?
You know, and for my childhood, it's always, everything was involved in sport, you know. I was always doing sport, you know, in the playgrounds.
Yeah.
It was always basketball, football, handball.
We call girls like you tomboys.
Okay.
That's awesome.
It was always about, you know, some ball.
Yeah.
And bicycle.
Ah, okay.
This was and school, of course. Don't forget school. It's very important.
Yeah.
Education. And then suddenly I start playing volleyball because one of my best friends, she started first, and then I went with her because I need to do something in free time. And since that, I was 12, I never stopped playing, and this is like...
Awesome.
I
so
love
you started
it.
Because of a friend, and now,
yes,
how about her? Did she stop?
Now she get married, she's pregnant.
Okay.
She's not in volleyball anymore, but she's doing a great job.
Does she get to see you play?
Sometimes when we play in Serbia, when it's close, but usually not so much. You know, the lives get other directions.
I understand that. Awesome. And then so from 18 or so, you graduated high school and then you decided you were going to go play pro. So what made you decide to leave Serbia?
Actually Bosnia. Yeah, because
I'm
from Bosnia. I went directly to Switzerland, Zurich, to play in Valero. And I have to say I had a little bit of luck.
Yeah.
Because in that time with my team in Bosnia, we played some, you know, international CEV Cup, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then,
which is the European, one of the three European cups for people who don't know. Yeah.
Okay. And the coach of that team was from Serbia.
Teca.
Not
or
really.
Was it before?
It was Nešić.
Ah, Nešić. Okay, nice.
First Nešić. And then he.
What year was that?
Oh my God. 2009, I think.
Oh, okay.
2009.
Yeah.
He was coaching, I think, one team in Italy.
Jezi
or something like that. And then he suddenly connected with today my manager, agent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thanks God, everything went very well. So
awesome.
I'm already doing like 5 seasons of professional career.
Mm-hmm.
And my next one is going to be in Russia.
Yeah.
With the coach who is now a first coach in national team, Serbia.
Awesome.
So I'm really happy for this.
That's good. I'd say like, and as you say it, he's walking in. I would love, like, just to have that, to be able to go from national team to my pro career and have the coach remain the same if mm-hmm. it's a great coach for you, because you can improve so much.
Yeah, he's good. For me, I like it very much because I stayed two years in Olero, in mm-hmm. Zurich. You know, it's kind of different in the beginning. You want the same people around you, same players, same coaches, but in the time you want to see something new, some different style of volleyball, different countries, cities, as well as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this. It's great.
Mm.
And last year I played in Brazil and I had such an experience. Great experience, a great coach, one of the best.
I have a question, actually. I played in Brazil, so I mean,
you played also,
I miss playing there.
Me too.
It was such a great place. I was down south, like, and what did you think of Brazilian life?
Let me first be honest. I never think, you know, in my life, I always had some dreams, some goals, like when I became even older. But for me, it was always, you know, watching Brazilian team, men's or women, just on TV. And that's it, you know, nothing else. And I never imagined that one day I will play there. That was for me something unbelievable. And when I came there, I was like, in the beginning, you know, scared and everything from new culture, different people for sure.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to fall in love with them, you know, with them way of living, their way of how they live for sport. You know, this is for sure something amazing that now even makes me to go back there. You know, so.
What would you say is the biggest difference between the people's mentality towards sport and how, like, for instance, the fans are and things between Brazil and, like, here?
No, it's crazy, really. I have to say, like, this. I think volleyball in Brazil is second sport. Even sometimes first, you know, because the fans are unbelievable, you know. You have always full gym of people who are supporting you, even if you are going through some bad periods, you know, in your game. And if they in the beginning they start to love, you know, this is forever, you know. Even now I always speak with my player, with the players on my team.
Yeah.
Also the fans are sending message always. So
that's awesome.
It's great.
So what I want to get into a little bit is you chose to go to these teams and so far things have been working out. But I want you to try and think back to maybe even when you just started volleyball. Preferably, it'd be like between starting volleyball and getting to the next best level, let's say. Was there any time that it just got really hard and you were just like, oh my God, this is a lot. Maybe you failed at trying something new. Maybe you couldn't. You had struggled with reception or service or passing or whatever.
No, I think in the beginning I was like in this age, 17, 18, I was completely sure, okay, this is what I want to do, you know. For next, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and that was for sure. But, you know, when I went from home, my first year in Bolero, even I had, you know, great people around me, coaches, players who are supporting me, a lot of players from Serbia, Croatia, but it was not so easy, you know, to just make this step, going away from home, the living and everything.
Everything that you know.
And so everything, so I think this first year was really hard for me, mentally, to overcome everything. But I think from great support that I had, you know, it became easier. And now I'm getting much, you know, experience, older, so I can see some things much clearer.
Yeah.
And I could never imagine now my life without volleyball.
Yeah. Now you, for instance, things that were issues or maybe scared you or whatever in the beginning.
In the beginning,
now they're
many.
Kind of like nothing.
It's, you know, it's. I think now I see this on with different eyes. It's like every day a challenge, new challenge for me that I have to resolve somehow, not as a, you know, big problem. It's like a sweet problem.
And if you were to think back, like, to, let's say, your first season at Valero, could you think of, like, one thing that was a challenge that you were just like, whoa, and you had to overcome it somehow?
No, I think it was I cannot say it was also, like, issues with, you know, practicing because it was way harder than I used to.
Yeah.
And I think...
So it was way harder, though.
It was way
harder. How did you adjust to that, then?
I think that let me say, I don't like to speak so much about myself, but for sure it was the biggest help from the other people, but I think you need to know what you want in your life and to be with a strong mind and the character and to really wish for this and to never give up.
Yeah. So, and would you say, because, okay, in general, I mean, that's one of the great things that I can tell about you is that you're definitely a very humble person. Humility is a great value to have. But in this case, we definitely want people to understand how you think and how you react to certain situations. Like, for instance, I remember with the national team, my first year, I went from not the same path as everybody else. I went to small schools. I went pro. I lied to change positions. Okay. I played that position. I struggled. I made a lot of errors. And when I got to the national team, I was talented. Shake it off, buddy. I was talented, but I was still making errors. And my mental game wasn't even close to where it should be. And at some point, it was just like, I realized that, wow, I need to change things. And that was when basically Tom Hoff had told me, if you don't want to be here, because I was struggling and I went into myself, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
And I got really silent and I got in my own head and I was just kind of like, God, let's just get through this practice.
Okay.
And so I wasn't putting as much effort and concentration into it. And Tom Hoff saw that. And Tom Hoff, I don't know if you know him or not, but he's legendary middle blocker for USA.
Okay.
He basically yells at me in the middle of training. I'm talking, you have Hugh McCutcheon, a silver medal and a gold medal in the Olympics as the coach. And he turns to me and just says, if you don't want to be here,
yeah, it's true,
get the out of the gym now and go home.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, but I'm talking about, it wasn't like home, go home to our dorms
and come back to
Colorado Springs. It was like, go home, home. And that made me realize, like, I had a lot of work to do. Was there any moment like that for you where it's just like, mentally you said, okay, here's what I got to do? Did you write it down, or did you just keep it in the front of your mind?
I think, like I said, this was like first 1 or 2 years when I had some problem, you know, mental, but I always knew what I want to do in my life, you know.
So you just kept your goals in front of you and kept going for those?
Like that. And working hard, you know, to not think about the moments you're going through. Some situation that, as a kid, I think you're a kid, 18, 19, you don't know how to resolve this. But I think you need to have a support also from your close one. But in general, you have to be the one who will decide. You want to do this or you want to find something else to do.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit, I know, before we started this podcast, but we're talking about quotes and mottos and things like that. And one of my favorites and one that I've seen be most true in my life is that they say that you are the sum of the 5 closest people to you. And basically what it means is that the 5 people you keep closest in your life are going to determine the path you take in life. So not so much that they make the choices, but help shape how you can get to where you want to go.
Because I think these people, they know you the best. They know what you think, what you want. So I think they should be there just to realize what you want to be, you know, in the future, to realize your dreams and to give you a lot of support.
Yeah. No, awesome. So let's talk about a little bit how you made the transition from pro to national team. What was that like?
Oh my God. It was 2012.
Yeah.
It was because I played for a Bosnian national team. Then I decide to play for Serbia because I think in Serbia I have more chance for playing on the high level. And it's correct.
Oh, that's true, huh?
It's like that. And you know, I came 2012, this year it was Olympic Games, London. And suddenly I was in the team, you know.
Yeah.
Can you imagine with 22 years, I'm already playing Olympic Games. This is something that every sport dream about it. So, as I said, you know, as I said, for this step in professional career, something new, it was, you know, something similar to the national team, you know, going through something new. I had this like that I knew some people before, and of course these are the people that they speak the same language like me. It's for sure easier. But still, it's something new. You are playing with some player that you watch on TV, and you have a huge respect for them. But in the other hand, you are also there, so you have to show that you can be as well as they are doing their job. Yeah. So it was tough this first, I think first year, second year already I get better. Now I'm like at
now
home.
You're comfortable. It seems like it.
Yeah.
One of the things that sounds interesting there to me is that you keep going back, you keep mentioning the same thing over and over, and it's something, another lesson I learned with the national team with Hugh McCutcheon, is that it was the first time I'd ever heard it. And now recently, being somebody who's interested in entrepreneurship and creating some kind of business outside of volleyball, so that when I stop volleyball, I have like a life with my kids and things like that, I'm hearing it more. But what it is basically that you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think that's a huge lesson that I could have learned when I was like 15.
I think it's very hard to step it, you know, from being uncomfortable to comfortable.
Yeah, I think this is
for
the
me,
biggest,
you know,
the biggest
step you have to do, because you need to also respect yourself as well. You are respecting the other, you know, if you want to respect from back from the other people, you know. And if you are in the team, so that means that you are equal good as they are. And a lot of, I think, because I had the same problems, you know, I always keep pushing myself down, you know, like
mentally,
that I'm not worth as other are. So the one
when did you realize that? When was the turning point that you realized, wait a minute, I'm worth being here because I'm here?
Well, I would connect this with Brazil, because not everybody can play in Brazil. Especially in my case, when I had opportunity to work with Rezende, one of the best coach, and there.
By the way, just for I want to
okay,
tell everybody.
If anybody knows,
Bruno Rezende is Bruno's father. Is one of the most respected
for
and
coaches,
well renowned. Oh my God, coaches in the world,
and so on and so on.
Yeah,
and if I have this, you know, privilege, I would say to live with him every day to work. Because he's really like living for volleyball, then I have to respect myself. Okay, I have medal from Brazilian championship. For me, it's more than enough, you know.
That's awesome. And so for you, speaking of medals and accomplishments, I know you stepped into the national team and then right away you accomplished a bunch of things with the team. And my question to you is, do you have some... Like, do you make goals? Do you have, like, a plan for volleyball for your career?
Yeah, I
do. Do you write
them
down or keep them in your head? How do you do that?
Sometimes I write them. Sometimes I keep them in head. But for me, I do this sport because I really love it. And it's not that I'm doing and I'm planning some big, you know, plans for the future and something. It's just I live this sport day by day.
Yeah.
So in this moment, for sure, it's a world championship that it's coming. And it's like this, you have to give your everything from yourself if you want to make something huge, you know. And it's not just you, and it's because it's not individual sport. It's full of people behind you who is working with the same goals. So I think this is the only opportunity if you want to make something big. If you have all the people concentrate as well you are, to achieve something good. But in individual, I do have some goals, but let's not speak about it.
But that's good that you have it in front of you and you're working towards it. I mean, I've learned definitely through a lot of advice through people that I respect in the sport, like you respected some of your teammates and things like that. And just personal research to having goals and writing them down, or at least keeping yourself, like reminding yourself of these things, is a great way to get through like the harder times. You know, because you're grinding every day.
If you in front of yourself, it's very easier, I think.
Yeah.
Because when you have some issue, some problem, they will remind you that you keep pushing yourself.
Yeah.
Because for sure, it's great. Life is not so easy. You know, you will have always some bad period situation, but you have to stand up and push yourself and go to the next challenge. So I think this is...
So what I'd like to know is, I always think it's interesting to see how other pros think in certain situations, right? So I'm going to give you a scenario. Let's say, for instance, it's set point, you're down two sets to none, right? and you're in, like, let's say, the semifinal match Grand Prix, okay?
Or
World Championships. And you know that this next ball, there's a really good chance that the ball is going to come to you. Mm. Now, what is going on in your mind from the moment before the whistle is blown for that point to determine whether or not you win that set to go to another set?
It's funny story, because these days we are doing, with our national team, we are doing some mental preparations.
With Gerich.
With Gerich.
I know,
Okay, you know everything then. I cannot say what we speak, but it was one of these things. He's helping a lot. He's helping a lot to us, you know. Mm-hmm. He's trying to give us confidence. Mm-hmm. Because it's really easy to lose the confidence and hard to build it again. Mm-hmm. But let me try to answer to your question. I have to say it's really hard, you know, in this situation now where we are sitting and speaking, it's hard to imagine this picture. Yeah. But no, you have to go on the court and with the full confidence. And to always think you can make mm-hmm. it a point. And my opinion, it's like, if you go 100% every match, every point, that if you give yourself 100%, that even if you make a mistake, nobody can say anything to you. Nothing mm-hmm. bad can happen. Mm-hmm. But I think in the head, in this moment, are happening so many things that I think you have to try to be calm and to believe in yourself, in the players around you. The coaches who are always giving you support.
Do you have something like, I know I have a couple of things, and if you share yours, I'll share mine. But do you have anything like, we like to, like at the national team, they did some interesting things. With pro teams, they had never done this with me before or with my teammates. But they were basically like, hey, we want you to have some habits that you do before each action.
Ah, do I have
so, them? Like, for instance, receivers might do something like touch the ground.
Or
you know, right when the whistle blows, I have a thing that when I started to go from a very mental mistake-making player to a player who almost changed completely, like, I had things that would happen. When the whistle would blow, I had something I would do.
But, well, I have to be honest and say, not really.
Yeah.
Not really in the general. But let me say, this part of mistakes, it's me personally, I always had, not always, I'm trying to be better now with Gerich, you know, when mistakes happens, what to do after.
Yeah.
It's always
how to respond mentally.
How to respond, how to overcome this issue or challenge. And, you know, mistakes are happening. It's not normal if you are staying without any mistakes or... You have to accept this and always go for the next point. I mean, it's always easy to say this, hard to do. But it's like this, you know, you cannot return something that happened. So I don't have really something that I'm doing before the game.
All right, I'm going to give you
I'm sometimes like in the reception showing how I have to push my hands.
Okay,
you know,
that's cool. That's something, because I'm not a natural receiver. I just started learning. Really, you two? What did you switch from opposite?
No, opposite.
Oh, see, we both have this issue. I literally learned how to pass with the national team in 2005.
Yeah,
I was just like, reception? Left hand, hand in hand? Like, what are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm always like showing this... moment, what I have to do, even though my reception with overhand it's way better. So every time I try to do it like this.
Yeah, this is something actually. So I know what I do with my reception. One of the things, because they were like, "Hey, build a habit, something to ingrain it, because it's muscle memory, right? When you do the action over and over, they call it muscle memory.
Okay.
If you do it enough times, right, the correct way, your mind's just going to know how to do it if you don't think about it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I like to do is before I know I have to receive, what I'll do is I'll just kind of like, I'll get down in my position and I'll just kind of touch my hands together with my arms straight with my elbows not bent, because I'll be like, okay, just to remind myself that don't bend my elbows and screw up.
We have the similar situation. I'm doing pretty much the same thing.
I think we're both struggling with the same thing, but working through it, you know?
I'm struggling with the reception.
But I think you're also making progress.
I cannot say I'm that I have this moment in the reception because some other things are my priority, but I can say that I'm trying to work on it every day to become better.
And this is the way you
this
get over.
This is the way, the only thing you can make a progress or change these things.
That's awesome. So what would you say like an average day is looking for you like right now?
Right now.
Just like waking up till the time you go to sleep.
You know, we start
preparing, by the way, for World Championships.
No, it's now it's everything about World Championship. Our mind is just about that, you know. We start, you know, because we had Grand Prix, we start in June, middle of June. We went for Grand Prix, and now, after Grand Prix, we had some days of like 5 days to come back on the practice, like motivate physically, ready mentally. And from then, from that time, it's everything just about thinking about World Championship.
But how, like, for instance, like, when you wake up in the morning...
Yeah, I wake up 8:15, 8 every morning because we have breakfast. Practice starts from 10 to 12, 12, 12 it depends. Then it's, of course, have lunch together, everybody. And after that, for sure, it's a little bit of sleeping.
Yeah.
2 hours. And then it's second practice that starts from 5 or 6, depend, and it's usually two and a half hours. And after that is usually dinner or something that you have to recover yourself, massage, therapy, reading book.
Reading book,
I like to read book a lot.
What kind of books?
This time
fiction,
I'm non-fiction. I'm in drama, romance and something. Last year, as I say, I was in this period and I read Sharma.
Sharma. I haven't heard of that one.
No,
I'm going to write it down.
American. It's about psychology.
Oh, really?
And mental struggles.
That's something I would like. I love that.
It's good. It's good books. Awesome. I have read many books from him.
Yeah.
But then I get like, okay, maybe I have to try something new, something different. So, and a lot of movies.
Movies. What kind of movies?
Comedy, romance.
You're a rom-com? I'm a high fiver right now. Rom-com, where it's at.
I'm not horror thriller or something like
that. Did you see Blended, the new one?
No, I have to see.
It's funny.
Yeah, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, Adam Sandler. I can't remember the actress, but yeah, it's funny.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, gosh, she's fantastic.
I will see.
So
I want to relax when I see the movie. No horror, no thriller, no.
I saw actually recently some horror movie and it just reminded me why I don't watch them. Because I was just like, after I was like, really? That sucked. I don't even feel good right now. And the movie was bad. So it's like, anyways. Yeah. Actually, have you watched any documentaries at all? I recommend it if you haven't.
Which one?
I recommend like, let's see. I just watched, what is it? It's one about being fat in America. It's like faster, stronger, bigger.
Okay.
This one is about steroids, and then another one about eating. Oh man, I'm gonna have to give it to you after. But anyways, I mean, that's interesting to see how like days go for elite level athletes, right?
Usually it's all the same days.
same over and over. And to break it up, you have your things like reading and movies.
Reading, but in the end, you know why you are doing this, so it's good.
Yeah. So sure. what's your plans for after volleyball?
You mean when I finish my volleyball career?
Yeah, for after or maybe just to prepare for after?
This is, you know, it's good question. It's not that I'm thinking now about this. I think I'm still in the beginning of my professional career. And I hope I will, you know, doing my volleyball, we say 10 years more.
Yeah.
I don't have any plans for now.
How would your life look like if you knew?
Maybe I would like to have something like coffee bar or something like that. Because my parents, they have a restaurant, small restaurant, my hometown.
Yeah.
But for sure, I see myself as a woman with my kids, husband, raising a family.
I just went to my place.
I think this is the sense of life, you know, being a mother, being a wife.
And in that picture, would you rather be the person who, like, for instance, because some people like to work a lot, would you rather be the person who's, like, working a lot or the person who has, like, the ability to just work whenever they want?
Well, for now I see myself as a person who is working a lot. I don't know what will happen after, but I don't see myself as a, you know, a mother who is always in the house preparing for the kids to eat everything.
This is great. Yeah, I think this is the real mother.
Mother can make it. You know? It can be hard for sure, but. Well, I see my mother, she did it, so I can do it.
She probably had the help, though, of your father also. This is really important.
But for sure, I see myself as a person who is doing something, who has some maybe private business or something like that.
Yeah, and that could be interesting.
That could be interesting.
Maybe not in Serbia or whatever, maybe something international.
Maybe something international, you never know. I will live somewhere else.
There you go. You never know. I think that's important to keep an open mind.
I like Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have never been to America. Well, I have to say, I enjoyed living in Cannes.
That was the French Riviera.
It was great, you know. For me, it was because of the weather.
Yeah.
You know, in the winter, it's like 10 degrees.
Yeah,
it is. No snow, you know, nothing. Mm-hmm. But also, Zurich is wonderful city, beautiful city.
Nice. Awesome.
Oh, I see. Vienna also. I like Vienna so much.
Yeah? Yeah. What do you like most about Vienna?
I think it's the how you say, architect.
The architecture is beautiful.
That they can offer you.
It's incredible,
that
city.
It's great.
Mm.
No, you need, I don't know, 10 days to see what
I agree
things.
With you. No. It's fantastic. I need to go and do the same thing that you're saying. Like, go and each time, see a new part of the city.
It's great.
Anyway, it's cool. Awesome. So, thank you so much for going through all this stuff. I think there was a ton of stuff, and maybe someday we can revisit things and see where you're at.
I think I can be better next time when I get more
I think you're
experience.
A really nice example. So, I mean, at your
I
age, you speak English, you've been traveling around. Are you kidding me? She's going, so-so with her hand.
I have to be better.
Yeah, it's like everything. Practice makes perfect, you know?
I enjoyed.
So what would you say is the best way to check out, like, how you're doing and check in on, you know, your status, like, for fans? Would it be, like, Facebook fan page? Or?
Yeah, I have Facebook
fan
page and Instagram.
Your fan page is just under your full name.
Yeah, but it's not me who is.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone else.
We don't want that.
This.
We don't want that. I mean, that's nice for people to maybe follow, but to get
But
kind
I have
of direct,
my own.
Yeah.
Like, just not fan page.
Yeah.
Just me, Brankica Mihajlović in Instagram.
Yeah. And then
where you can
Instagram.
See me posting a photo, you know, being
It's your full name on Instagram?
It's my full name,
At Brankica
Mihajlović. Brankica Mihajlović. Nice photo. Okay.
Nice photo. I'm going to follow you.
I'm going to follow
with both you. With both of my accounts, I'm going to follow you.
Oh, two accounts.
Yeah.
And I do post a photo just so that people who follow me. But I have to say that I'm not aware of the situation that I have some fans, you know, who really appreciate what I'm doing. And because I'm getting a lot of messages that they really like me seeing the TV and they want to become one day as well as me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm doing this, you know, to give them, you know, clearer picture of what I'm doing.
So. That's actually a perfect segue to what I was just about to ask you, just to kind of end up, is what is your advice to people who, in general, it could be athletes or people in life.
Well, I think
just to being about goals,
happy, healthy, keep dreaming on, because for sure it will happen if you are really working for it, truly every day, giving yourself 100%, and of course, as I said in the beginning, just trying to be a better person in every.
Always trying to improve.
To improve in everything you can do.
So. Yeah, I think this is really important.
A lot of my sports,
reading, actually.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here with the podcast. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm really grateful for your time. It was a pleasure to meet you. Mira definitely wasn't wrong.
Thank you very much.
I do have one thing. Let's say that you were hosting this right now, and you're sitting and interviewing, for instance, someone.
Okay.
Who would you have on and why?
From players, volleyball players.
Yeah. Or it could be anybody in sports, let's say, the sports world.
I would say she's my good friend.
Mm-hmm.
She's from Croatia. Alaj Begijala.
Uh-huh.
You know her?
Yeah, I know her. Of her, I don't know her though.
Okay.
And
are you her?
Why would you have her on?
Well, first of all, because
what do you think people can learn from
Tao? She's a great person, my good friend, and this is even me.
That's so rad. So one of my, like, you know how we all have people you try to like model your game after and learn from? He's one of the top athletes that I was trying to learn from.
I was even now when I was younger, oh my god, when I see him on TV, it was something.
So just for everybody to understand what just happened, who just showed up?
No, you could hear one of the best volleyball players. I would say not just in Serbia.
Oh, for sure. He's been one of the best. He's been the best player in the world.
In the world. He's great athlete. As you can see, he's a great person.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I admire him so much. So Ivan Miljković, he used to play for Serbia, for Yugoslavia. And now he's still in volleyball.
Fantastic player, really.
Fantastic.
He's a great player.
And maybe I can say him for the next interview. Because when I saw him, I was like...
Yeah. But... I looked up and I was like, "Oh wow, awesome!"
No, break the interview, break it.
Yeah. I think I played against him when he was at Olympiakos. Now that I think about it, crazy. Anyways,
crazy.
So, Instagram, Brankica Mihajlović, Facebook. I don't know if you're gonna accept everybody that's gonna add you on your personal.
Actually, I'm accepting everybody.
Yeah, that's all. You're gonna get limited though. You gotta make a fan page that you run.
I have to make
it. Yeah. Okay. Because you'll get to the point where you can't take any more
actually,
fans.
I'm not really... Before, I know I didn't have anything on Facebook, Instagram, but now I see that everybody are known.
Yeah.
It's so popular, then I have to decide, I will make it. But what's advice? I don't think that you should be so much on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great, you know, it's popular and everything, but... Internet you can use in some other thing, for sure, maybe some better ways, you know, to learn something. There is so great application and so many things.
What's something that you use pretty often on the internet to learn everywhere?
Except the news that you can see every day. I think there is also like sites for learning, languages. You know, this is a great thing.
And have you seen the app Duolingo?
Yeah, I did. I don't know, is it this one?
It's a fantastic free app to learn languages.
But not now. But I don't know the name.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great opportunity to learn something.
Yeah. Well, it's really good for everybody listening, because definitely you should be using the internet to open your world.
Yeah.
But when they want to learn specifically or check in on you, then Instagram is going to be the best way to see pictures.
Follow me, please. I don't have so much followers.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great to speak with you. And I hope in some future we have some more opportunities.
We need to. Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us. And share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.